Okay, thanks for coming. I'm Joe Gasparich. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Nokomis Area Fire Protection District, and what you're going to hear is a group of folks kind of tell you the story today. Before we get started, there's a couple inconsistencies in the press release I sent out. The actual time of dispatch on page one was 10:06, not 10:02, and I'll cover a few more of the times here when we get started. Representative Avery Bourne came down to visit with us today. We're going to give her the opportunity to say a couple words.
It isn't too often that we get a lot of good news to talk about, so it's always a privilege to get to recognize our volunteers and everything that you do to serve us, not only in my hometown of Raymond, where we just got the opportunity to thank the firefighters, but today as well for our volunteer departments that do so much that we don't get to see, whether it's training or being ready or missing out on family occasions to serve the community. So thank you all for what you do, and we're so happy at such a good outcome.
Thanks, Representative Bourne, for coming. If you want a copy of the fire report, we'll provide it to you. It's been kind of difficult for us to exactly figure out what time elapsed when this was all done. In the initial release, it said 10:02 was the dispatch. It was actually 10:06. And as near as we can tell, the first engine was on the scene within 4 minutes. And basically, from there on out, went to do what they were going to do, which you'll hear that story today. So next, what we're going to do is bring up Ryan Follis, who is the pastor of the First Baptist Church, and he was actually one of the first people there. We'll kind of let you tell. He'll tell you what he saw that day.
I volunteered chaplain with the fire department, so I had the scanner. And when I found out that the scanner was going off, they said there's a fire behind the Baptist Church at Union and Maple. Which means I knew pretty much right away where it was. I ran outside, went through the yards. The parents were screaming. They were in panic. And it was in crisis. And there was noticeable flames. So the mom said, the baby, my baby. And I went to the stairs to try to go upstairs. Came back and asked which room. When she told me which room, I went back. At this time, another volunteer firefighter was there and went with me. It was pretty much inflamed at that point. I know Officer Knable had come as well, and then the firefighter went to suit up and get back. We realized at that point it was impassable. So comforting the family, waiting for the fire department. When they arrived, the first firefighter off went upstairs, assisted putting the ladder outside and going back and forth. And then when the officer had received the baby, going with him to the ambulance and staying with the baby on behalf of the family, it felt like a priority for me at the moment. So that's pretty much, to my end, what had taken place.
And afterwards, all the speakers will be available for additional questions if you got them. We also want to give credit to the parents. Once this fire was detected, they tried to do what they could do to get upstairs. But as the firefighters will tell you, this was a situation where this was a lot of smoke and a lot of heat in a very short period of time. So, in fact, the mother actually was transported to Springfield for burns she received in trying to get the baby out. Next, we're going to bring up Monty Epley and Charlie O'Malley, who were the first initial arriving engine on the scene, to kind of talk about what they saw and what they did.
Well, we got the call, obviously, for the structure fire, and once we made it up here to the fire station, we were getting our gear on. The call came over the pager that there was an infant inside. That obviously changed a few things. There were four of us here at the time. We got in the truck. We waited a couple minutes. Generally, we take off with five. Well, not a couple minutes. It seemed like it, but it was just a matter of a couple seconds. Actually, between the four of us in the first rig, we had 92 years of experience. We felt confident that we were able to take off. Hopefully we'd have other trucks and other firemen on their way shortly behind us. We got on scene. We saw the flames coming out of the front of the building, and we went ahead and we had the truck operator Earl Alexander use the deck gun to throw some water inside the front windows to knock down some of the flames, while the other three of us got off the truck, and Michael made entry into the house, and we got a ladder up in the back for a secondary option in case he wasn't able to make it in.
And just as Charlie said, everything worked just like it was supposed to. Earl got a great knockdown to get most of the fire extinguished. Michael went in, did what he had to do. We had the ladder set up. Charlie went up, busted the window open, was ready to get the backup if needed. And Michael was already in and out of the house. And from then on out, it was just containing the fire and getting fire out.
We want to acknowledge the other member who was on the truck that day, Earl Alexander, who's with there. We also want to acknowledge the other members we've got here today who were also on the scene, Jared German, Eddie Quinn, Tyler Batty, and Dylan Goldsmith. And Dylan was actually going to the fire scene. This is a volunteer department, so everybody comes here, gets on the truck, and goes. Dylan actually stopped to assist Pastor Follis before he realized he couldn't do much, so he came on up here and actually got his gear and went back on the second truck. Sergeant Knabel was the next responder on the scene, and he was one of the ones that actually was working with the fire department to help with getting aid out. I'd like to have him say a few words too. Sergeant Knabel.
Hello, I'm Sergeant Gary Knabel. Call came in, I was at the PD, that structure fire. So I ran out, chief was right behind me. When I made it out of the alley, you could see the smoke six blocks away, just up over the trees. Made it out on Route 16 out here, and they said there was a two-year-old trapped upstairs. So, of course, your heart rate, I mean, everything just goes up. Got on scene, ran out of the car, noticed three individuals outside screaming. I've met the family before, so I knew it was the parents. They were screaming that my baby was upstairs. The pastor took me in through the house up to the stairwell and said that I had to go up through it and go down the hallway. She was in the last bedroom. I attempted, got up there, got disoriented, couldn't see the heat, the smoke, everything. Ran back down, ran back outside. Running by the family again made it worse because I came out empty-handed. Ran to the squad car to grab a light, ripped off my coat and hat, so I figured just go up in flames. Ran back in, thinking there was nothing that was going to stop me from going in there. Ran back up the stairs, attempted it the second time. It was just a black wall. Couldn't breathe, couldn't see, couldn't do nothing. Thought to myself, I got back down in the stairwell, was trying to think of another way to get to her. Ran back outside, yelling for neighbors were coming out, yelling for a ladder to get up to that second story so we could go through the window. Came running around the front side of the house. Of course, seen the ambulance pull up at that time. Chief was on scene yelling. He went looking for a ladder. And then the fire department. I could see them coming. It was like a relief once I seen that first engine arriving on scene. I'm waving them in. They come out. I yell at everybody around the fire department or around the fire truck to get the ladder off, put it at the back window. And the first fireman coming out, I didn't even know who it was. They were just ready when he came running around that truck, which it was Michael. We went back inside, me and him and the pastor went back inside, went through the kitchen up on the landing. I sent the pastor back out because it was too bad in there. It was real bad. We told Michael right where to go, and he ran up the stairs. As he was going up the stairs, I stayed there to watch him. He was just disappearing through the flames and smoke. It was like what you'd see on a movie. You know, it was like, and it was a relief. Once he disappeared, I was like, he was going to get her. So I stayed there, hollering for him, telling him to hurry up, hurry up. Couldn't breathe. Next thing I know, a bunch of water comes into the house, comes down. Well, and then I could hear him screaming something. I couldn't understand him. So I didn't know if they were spraying, what window they were spraying in, if they were spraying on him, whether he couldn't see. So I jumped, ran back down the stairs, ran outside, make sure that the fire truck wasn't shooting water into the windows where he was at. They weren't. Ran back up there screaming, hollering, and it sounded like the roof was coming down. the whole top. So I was like, I thought we were done. This was it. At that later determined it was a ceiling coming down on top of us. Standing there yelling. It got quiet, and the next thing I know, Mike comes rolling. He comes right down the stairs into me, right there on the platform. He's yelling something. I can't see him. The smoke was so thick, but I could see the little bit of the whites of the pajamas on the baby. So I reached down, grabbed the baby, grabbed him, was yelling at him to let's go. We ran off the platform, down through the kitchen, and out the door we went. Immediately came outside with the baby. She was laying limp in my arms. The parents let out a scream. I made it around the front side of the house, yelling for Gilletta, and I happened to see her. Well, she seen I had the baby. We took off running towards the ambulance. She's yelling at Jill. I jump in the ambulance. And just to look at the baby's face, at Ada's face, because I didn't know her name at the time. And I remember wiping her face off. Her eyes were closed. She was just laying there. And Gilletta was yelling at me, telling me to get on the radio to have Arch be at the helipad. Pastor jumped in there. He started driving the ambulance. Gilletta and Jill, they did an awesome job working on her. They told me exactly what to do. We arrived at the helipad, and then the next thing I know is that Ada, she let out a cry. And it was the best feeling, because as long as she's crying, she's breathing. And it wasn't a dry eye in the ambulance. I just wanted to collapse right then. Then she opened up her pretty little eyes and looked up at us and was crying, and they continued to do an excellent job on her. Arch arrived, took the baby, and then the other ambulance arrived on scene with Mom. So I went in that ambulance to see if they needed any help, and I was just talking to the chopper that came in. That's it.
You know, when we set this press conference up, a week in the news business is an eternity. But as you can see, these guys, it was a pretty harrowing day for them. What they had to do. The next gentleman I'm going to bring up is the first one out the door anytime there's training. He leads the training for us. He's been on the department over 20 years, and he pushes the rest of us to do what we need to do to train. He is the most familiar on the department with his air pack. I think he actually walks around the house with it and does cleaning sometimes just to get used to it. But he was the man for the job that needed to be in that door. So we're going to kind of let him talk to you a little bit about what he went through that day and kind of understand this was not that long ago, so things are still a little bit, you know, tender to these guys. So come on up, Michael.
Be Captain Smalley with Nokomis Fire. Call come in as a structure fire as we were responding to the station here. And we got here, and then the word came in that the baby was trapped. As we got to the scene, I was familiar with the residents from being used as a youth structure for our church. When they told me the room she was in, I knew where it was. Going up the steps, it was black. I seen nothing in that was resemblance of what it was before. As Charlie said, the 92 years come into play because everybody did their job to an unbelievable measure. I made it to the room. Panic set in whenever I made the first bed and couldn't find her. Ended up locating the second bed. Found her, headed back to the stairs. Earl had put water on it, knocked down what fire was blocking our path. To this day, I still don't know how, but we come down the stairs upside down and on my back. And I say it's still a blur of sorts, but I can't say enough about the guys that were there, the guys that finished the day, putting the fire out after all the emotion that went on that day.
And they'll be available after this for interviews if you want to talk to some of these folks individually, but we wanted you to know the whole story, what went on, so you got a clearer picture of this. The next person that was involved in this situation was Gilletta Hill and Jill Quinn. I'm going to let them come up. Gilletta is actually the manager of the ambulance service. She's a paramedic, and she'll kind of tell you exactly what they did and what they knew they needed to do and how it got done.
I'm Gilletta Hill. I'm the manager of Nokomis Wood Ambulance. This is my coworker and partner, Jillian Quinn. We were at the garage that morning when the call came in, and it said that a child was involved. We immediately took off from the quarters, called to have them put Arch on standby. When we arrived, Jill stayed into the ambulance, and she prepared everything that she needed to get, you know, for resuscitation. And I went out, and as Scott came out of the house, he and I ran to the ambulance. Jill took the baby. She started clearing the airway. Between her and I, we got the airway cleared. We had Officer Knabel helping us. We had him get Arch going ahead and flying to the helipad. The baby was not moving. The baby was not crying until about the time we got on the helipad, and she let out a cry, and as Scott said, there wasn't a dry eye in there, so we just did what we were supposed to do.
I think she pretty much summed it all up. We don't do this for praise or thank you or anything else. Just glad we were there to help.
We'll bring up Ryan Falls to talk about the fund in a minute. We really tried to do analysis of how long it was between the call and the time that she was actually rescued. If the call came in at 10:06, we had to figure that there was probably some time before that where the fire was in the building. We went at 10:10, on scene at 10:11, and it probably took another minute. So this little girl was in that smoke maybe for anywhere from 6 to 8 minutes. And I haven't met her yet, but I want to meet her because she's a fighter. I don't know what she's going to be when she grows up, but she's got a heck of a track record already. So we're going to let Pastor Follis come up, and then we're just going to go right to Les Albert, the Deputy State Fire Marshal. Pastor Follis is going to talk about the fund that's been set up for the family and how they're working that.
For what it's worth, the story about the little girl and fighting spirit, because they were life-flighted, I drove the dad, the husband, up to be with his family, and the doctor that came out and talked to him said, we knew she was a fighter when we tried to intubate her, and she bit the nurse. So that was a good sign. She is a fighter. We're receiving financial donations at this point at either First National Bank, an account has been set up, or at the First Baptist Church. The community responded. It was incredible. I've been telling people, it's truly, one, it's miraculous as much as being a person of faith to have been on site and to know that what that little girl endured seemed to go against all plausibility. It was also truly marvelous to have the people that responded the way they did. And then, of course, in trying to help a family recoup, we started immediately once we realized what had happened, that by Tuesday night and Wednesday, we had volunteers around the clock, found them another home to rent, and within 4 days had enough donations to fully furnish the house for all their kids, beds, furniture, clothing, and financial resources coming in to give them a couple of months really to not worry about how to pay for things and to cover expenses. So anybody who has been adding to that is welcome to do so through the church or at First National Bank in Nokomis.
Good afternoon. I'm Les Albert, the Deputy Director of the Office of State Fire Marshal. On behalf of the Office of State Fire Marshal, we'd like to commend Nokomis Fire, Nokomis Police, and the area EMS on a job well done. It shows the dedication and professionalism of this community and the emphasis they have on training. If you notice, they put all these things together. They didn't just panic at the fire, just forget everything else that was going on. They scheduled air vac. They had EMS ready to go. everything showed that they take training very seriously here, and I think the community should be very grateful for that. On behalf of the State Fire Marshal, well done.
We don't typically bring you folks down to see what we do, but there's a lot of times we have situations not nearly as dramatic as this, but this group has worked together very well for the last 20 years. And to have something like this happen and the events occur when they needed to happen, I think is pretty miraculous for a small town. You know, in Nokomis, we always say the differences between a full-time paid department and a volunteer department are over with when the pager goes off. And I think that really showed in this event. So we're going to wrap up the pre-setup part of the conference. If you want to talk to some of these folks, you're more than welcome to. They'll stick around until you've got what you need to do. We want to thank you for coming down. The coverage on this has been exceptional. And it's been well done. And it's been very, done in good taste. And we appreciate that. So thank you.